in the middle of a series of Jesus' teachings, in this passage, Jesus makes the connection for us between our spirituality and our resources. Do not worry, Jesus tells us, and do not be afraid, but put your trust and faith in God. Seek the kingdom above all else. He said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. May God bless the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word.
Let us pray. God, not only us, but you too. Not our will, but yours. Not our word, but yours. Amen. So I'm not worried this morning about our church's finances. I know we've got some challenges. We've got some deferred maintenance and some faith challenges and some things to think about in the future. But I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the national economy either. We've got rising joblessness rates and increasing debt, but I'm not worried about that either. I'm not worried about my personal finances. Now, I've got two young kids. I'm worried about rising food prices and rising college tuition rates. I've got family members that are out of work right now and struggling to put food on the table, but I'm honest with you when I say this morning that I'm not worried. Now, does that mean there's nothing to be worried about? Does that mean that I'm just sort of burying my head in the sand and seeing only what I want to see? Does that make me a Pollyannish, rose-colored glass-wearing space cadet? Well, some of you may say so, but that's okay, because I'm not worried this morning. And I'm not worried this morning for one simple reason. Because Scripture tells us over and over again, with a drumbeat of reassurance, do not be afraid. I'm not worried this morning because in our gospel passage from Luke 12, Jesus says in this wonderful way, he says, do not worry. I'm not worried this morning because despite all of those things which threaten my family and my church and my community and my world, I believe and I trust that God is bigger and more powerful than anything that threatens us. And I believe Jesus when he says things like this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Now, there's another man who wasn't worried either. It was April 3rd, 1968, and Dr. Martin Luther King found himself in Memphis, Tennessee, to to support some sanitation workers that were trying to put together a union. Now, it was stormy and rainy the night that he was supposed to join with hundreds of sanitation workers at the Mason Temple in Memphis, Tennessee. He was ill, and he was tired, and he was not up to going up and delivering a speech. So you know what he did? He sent his friend Ralph Abernathy in his place, but when Abernathy got there, he found that the crowds were clamoring for Dr. King. So they went back, and they got him, and they brought him to the temple. And it was there that he delivered his famous mountaintop speech before nearly collapsing as he left the stage. The very next day, he was assassinated, and the world has never been the same since. Now, what's amazing about that speech is, well, it's an amazing speech. But beyond that, it's amazing because of the context within which he preached it. You see, by 1968, Martin Luther King was a wanted man. He had made some powerful enemies, and he had reason to fear for his life. In fact, in his speech that he delivered that night, he talks about the plane that brought him to Memphis that morning had to be searched before they could get on it for fear of saboteurs. He told a story about how that plane had to be guarded all night long by armed guards so that no one could get in there and tinker with it and cause the plane to crash. Dr. King was a wanted man. He had made some powerful enemies, and despite all of the reasons not to go to the Mason Temple that night, his own physical health, the storms outside, the danger that surrounded him, he decided to go anyway. And I'm really glad he did, because this is what he said. He closed his speech with these famous words, prophetic words. He says, well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And God's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, he said. The storms raging outside. Important words. Powerful words. Transformational words spoken and given life and allowed to bear the fruit of justice, because one man was not worried, even though there was so very much for him to worry about. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Now, Jesus, by the time he gets to chapter 12, he's teaching and preaching in Luke's gospel around Judea, on his way to Jerusalem. Now, way back in chapter 9, Jesus had already predicted his death. He knew that he had made some powerful enemies and he was a wanted man, and so he predicted his death, and he told the disciples that he was going to die. I think Jesus had worry on his mind when we get to chapter 12, because in chapter 12, he talks a bit about worry. He's already told him at the beginning of the chapter, he says, fear God enough so that you need fear nothing else. And then he tells the parable of the rich fool about this misguided man who was seeking comfort and security. So he builds these big barns and puts all of his resources inside, attaching his comfort and security and salvation to things rather than to God. So Jesus has got worry on his mind, I think, when he's speaking with the disciples and the crowd, and so he goes right to it. He says point blank to them, he says, do not worry. This was a man who had a lot to worry about. He had predicted his death. He knew that his life was in danger. And he was talking to the crowds that were hungry and ill and tired and oppressed. He knew they had a lot to worry about. And he He looked at them point blank in the face and said, do not worry about your life. Jesus wasn't toning death to their suffering, you see. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew they had a lot to worry about. He wasn't just spiritualizing away their suffering. He wasn't just giving opium to the masses. He was telling them not to worry because he knew that when we worry, you know, we circle the wagons and we close inward and we hold on tight to our resources and we start to worship gods that aren't really God. Jesus knows that when we worry, we bow down to earthly princes. That we sing hymns to our bank accounts and we pray that our wealth will grow so large that we never have to worry again. Jesus knows that about us. And so in his words, he gives us a different way. And he teaches this. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Do not be afraid, little flock. I love that. Do not be afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Run after God, Jesus said. Nothing else. Don't run after that which glitters but isn't gold. Run after God. Because when you do that, when you get the real thing, you get a worry-free heart. You get a worry-free heart that moves you and makes you do discipleship things, like looking up from your worry and outward into the world. You see, when you have a worry-free heart, you start to do discipleship things like building the kingdom, which looks like feeding the hungry and bringing about peace and justice and righteousness. When you have a worry-free heart, you start to do discipleship things like going to Memphis, Tennessee and telling people not to worry when there's a whole lot to worry about. So I'm not worried today. Because I believe and I trust in the God who is faithful to us and bigger and more powerful than anything that. And on this Consecration Sunday, I think about what that does for me and my family, and thinking about what resources I'm going to give to this church. And because I believe that God is the kind of God that tells us not to worry when there's a lot to worry about, you see, that makes me want to give not so that I can keep the doors of the church open. Like, if I don't give, somehow this church is going to collapse. It isn't about the church's need to give, you see. But my understanding of who God is and my own faith and trust allows me and frees me up to give generously to this church and to all of the missions and ministry that it is involved in. You see, I'm not worried. And that frees me up to give generously to the church that I see every single day doing discipleship things like loving and feeding and caring and singing and taking care of one another. Our family can give generously to this church and you who do things every single day, discipleship things. That's the kind of church that I'm excited about. And so I'm not worried today, but I'm excited about God and excited about our church and excited about all the things that God is doing through us. Do not be afraid, friends. Do not worry. Because despite all the things,